Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagora, Vic Carucci back with you for a beautiful Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Got a nice show lined up for you here today. We're going to take a look at the outside linebacker position. We talked about the defensive backs on Tuesday. We'll talk about the linebackers on the outside today. Also, Jim Donovan, the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, will join us around 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll also hear from rookie quarterback Connor Shaw. Could be in studio, which would be a nice treat for us here today, coming off of the youth football camp down at First Energy Stadium today.
The Utes.
You got to love the Utes. We're also going to play a little fact or fiction. We'll also take a look at the inside linebackers. We covered that position in its entirety. Hear from Chris Kirksey as well from the Give 10 event at First Energy Stadium today. So lots to get to. Notorious, great to be back alongside you here in Berea, as Twitter would indicate. My absence was noted yesterday.
Oh, there's no question. The team president definitely is keeping a roll call when it comes to you, for sure. And he was walking by and decided to snap a picture of me being in here with Michael Regei, and just, you know, sort of said he was a little worried that you weren't getting maybe that sufficient time to yourself.
Yes, it was kind. It was kind for him to notice. And yes, I ended up having a nice day yesterday. Beautiful weather. It was supposed to rain. It ended up being nice. Got to get out there and play a little small ball with the kid.
Except for me, when I wanted to go to the Indians game last night, and a couple friends of mine were downtown.
I know.
And I was all excited, all fired up. And then all of a sudden, the clouds fired up, the sky fired up, and just blew that out of the water, literally. But had a good time kind of hanging out and catching up with some of the members.
When the rain forces you into the bars, there's nothing wrong with
that. I got to say, it ended up, I'm not going to lie, I'm sure it would have been great to be at the ballgame, and I was looking forward to relaxing night at the ballgame, but I had hanging out with some friends and just sipping some beverages, adult beverages, was a fun thing to do.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with throwing a few back. Yeah, I would agree.
And we watched other sporting events on other baseball games and whatever was on TV.
Did you end up losing power at all yesterday?
I did not, but I know a bunch of people.
Yeah,
that
we
you
were
guys
without
did.
Power for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it didn't hit as much on this sort of westish side as I guess it did on your end.
Yeah, it was terrible because literally we put the kids to bed.
Yeah.
Alyssa began making, believe it or not, she was going to make a meat sauce with some sausage.
Nice.
And we had some broccoli.
Which is today's lunch.
And so it got killed basically on the stove. In mid-cook,
we lost power. Oh, that stinks.
So it was done. We were donezo at that point. It was terrible. So I ended up having to go out to Taco Bell for dinner, unfortunately. It was like from Alyssa's cooking at Taco Bell was a big downgrade. But then here I come in today, and it's Italian day. The sausage, the meatballs, the broccolini.
The marinara sauce.
This is the
marinara is the, I call it the nectar of the gods. And then the rest of the stuff here, the meatballs and the sausage, our crew does a great job. When it's an Italian day, an Italian Thursday, I'm in heaven.
And
broccolini finishes off nicely.
I got some grief for the size of my plate down there. I'm a growing boy. What's the big deal?
You can handle that. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I kind of loaded up on, sausage and meatballs and sauce. You threw in some of the wheat pasta in there, so that's nice. But
always the whole
choice.
Wheat. Yeah, the whole grains.
Choice,
sure.
The whole grains. You mentioned, again, Jim Donovan's going to be with us. We're going to have a lot to talk about with regard to our positional breakdown, outside and inside linebackers. And I like that we're focusing in that direction because as you look at this team and the reasons to feel optimistic, I think, regarding what the Browns are going to be, if you have any reason for optimism, and I got into this conversation a little bit last night with, again, some of the members of the coaching staff, it's there. It's that, I think, remarkable depth that this team, that I can't recall this team having in that group in a long time, where you truly feel good about the talent, what's been put together. And some long time, and look, it's easy from the inside out to look at it with a positive tone because it's your team, it's the Browns. But honestly, when I'm saying that, I'm talking about in reference to the coaches, but I think the more I hear about how these guys handle themselves, what they do on the practice field, but also on the sidelines, how in tune they are, how they're anticipating other, the plays that are coming because of their efforts and time spent watching tape, studying, really examining things. I think it's going to be so beneficial if they're doing this stuff in off-season workouts in June. Can you imagine what they'll be doing, hopefully, when September, October roll around?
Yeah, and one of the things about that is this is a smart defense, and I would urge everybody who's listening to the show, because you're listening, you clearly are a fan of the Cleveland Browns, to go to Monday Morning Quarterback and read the great article about Coach Pettine by Greg Bedard. And I thought it was very good, very insightful, and Coach Pettine talked about how smart he feels that this group is defensively. He talked about his sponge theory, that the more they can absorb, the more you give them. And basically, this is a team that is going to be built on this defense, and all of a sudden some positions, you know, we're going to hit on two of them right out of the gate, the defensive backfield that was lacking depth last year that made you a little bit nervous, and the inside linebacking core that lacked depth and lacked productivity have turned into two fairly deep positions in a hurry.
No question about it. And the draft contributed to that, free agency contributed to that, and I think to a great extent coaching is going to contribute to that. The scheme in general, but the specific coaching up of individual players. Craig Robertson, a very smart guy, a guy that also took a lot of ridicule for how he played last year and mostly what he lacked in coverage last year. I think the one thing, and I know we're going to get more in depth at the position later in the show, but the one point I want to make about Craig Robertson, when you go back and watch tape of what happened last year, the guy found himself in matchups that I'm not entirely sure he should have been in. I mean, I think play calls, defensive calls, I should say, could have been more favorable to him. And I think there are ways to call a defense where you don't put people in those kind of situations. If it happens once or twice, that should be, okay, there's a trend here. Let's avoid doing this. Let's not ask the guy to try to do things in coverage that he can't possibly do or he can't do as well as you'd like him to. Our Ohio Business Machine's topics of the day. How about Joe Hayden showing up as the 39th best player in the NFL on NFL Network's ranking? So is he underrated? We want to ask people this, of course, who will call us at 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns_daily or at my Twitter handle at Vic Carucci or at Nathan Zagura. Is he underrated about where he or about where he should be in this ranking, or is he overrated? My initial thought is somehow that seems too low for me. I don't know. I when I think of Joe Hayden.
What do you mean by too low?
I mean, as a top NFL player, I don't know if he's been rated ranked high enough. On the
You're
overall,
saying he should be
higher than
better 30, than 39.
Better than 39. I think, because I think of him as one of the very best at a position that is rare to find those lockdown very best people. I think when you talk cornerbacks, it's a short conversation of best in NFL. And in light of the value that the position has, you know, it's different maybe than some spots where you can find multiple people. I'm going to use wide receiver as an example. I think when we're talking about cornerbacks and giving him the 39th overall ranking, I don't know if enough credit is being given to Joe there. I think he should be ranked maybe higher than that. That's my initial first blush thought. And Darrell Revis, by the way, was ranked higher than him, higher than Joe Hayden.
I believe, without question, that Joe Hayden should be in the top 20. And this is going to be the case that I'm going to make for it. If you were to disband the National Football League, and you are going to do a draft from scratch, I think the three positions that would come off the board the quickest would be left tackle, quarterback number one, quarterback, left tackle, and corner. And you're talking about one of the three or four best corners in the NFL.
In the game.
I think he goes in that top 20, top 25 range at a minimum in terms of if you're starting over, he would be a first pick for a franchise.
I was saying in my mind, 10 spots too low. I'm going to probably even side with you and say
so
it's
top
more
25.
Than 10.
We'll say so top 25.
Maybe he's 15 too low.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in that range, I think you got it right. He's in the top 20 or top 25 players, and for that very reason, the value of the position and the quality that he has at that position.
Right. And I think that when you, again, you know, we know that the Browns value cornerback, left tackle, quarterback is the top three. I think that's pretty much the consensus around the National Football League. And you have one of the guys who is at the basically in his prime, one of the top four corners in the NFL, in my opinion, a guy who's only getting better, can do a lot of things. He can play the press man. He can play off man. He can do anything for you defensively. Yeah. Joe Hayden is one of the top 25 players in the league. And I will tell you this, if the Browns were 8-8, I think he finishes in the top 25. Yeah. I think that there is a slight penalty on him and all Browns for what happened with the record. And that's why even a guy like Josh Gordon, who probably will be ranked well because he led the league in receiving yards, isn't going to be ranked as highly perhaps as he should be given the overall impact that it had on the team's wins and losses.
There is no doubt that he is being punished, and other Browns players maybe in general are being punished by last year's 4-12 record. You could say maybe that's deserved and justified, regardless of what your individual accomplishment is. If it wasn't good enough for a team to win more than four games or give them a winning record, then that's how the ranking should go. I don't totally subscribe to that. I think you can separate individuals from the overall team performance. In some cases, maybe not all of them. I think maybe there's some false – there are some numbers that are individual numbers, stats, that get inflated in losing seasons and don't tell a true story about how good that player is or how much he contributes to success. In Joe Hayden's case, consistently, this guy has been the guy, a guy, who helps keep the Browns competitive, who when they're competing in games and when they had all their issues, there's so many issues on both sides of the ball, particularly we know on offense, but I think it was Joe Hayden's play that really dictated what offenses did. Throwing away from him, avoiding him, compromised game plans. I mean, I think there's when you can shut down a portion of the field, you've taken a lot away from an opponent. Hayden can do that. Needs to be recognized for that. As far as Josh Gordon goes, he is going to get ranked higher. His numbers will say that, and his talent says that too. I don't begrudge him being ranked higher. And then, you know, will the off-field issues come into play when assessing him? I think my initial sense is going to be it might actually, based on, because I believe most of these rankings are going to be based largely on what players did in the previous season, right?
That's well, what it is. Yeah.
In 2013, the man played 14 games and had his numbers, put up those remarkable numbers in 14 games. That might actually work to his advantage.
No question. Honestly. I think it does work to his advantage, yeah. And he did something. He set NFL records. He had the four-game stretch, back-to-back games over 200 yards receiving. He did some unbelievable things. There's no question about it.
Trade rumors hovering in the background.
Swirling, and that's one of the reasons why we are all so upset that we're in the situation we're in with Josh Gordon. But I think it's a very interesting one, and we do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Was Joe Hayden underranked, overranked, just about right, in your opinion? You can let us know on the phones. You can let us know on Twitter. Again, we both think he should be top 25 because of where he is at the cornerback position, one of the first four, and where that position ranks in the level of importance in the National Football League today. All right, we are going to go right now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in rookie quarterback Connor Shaw. Connor, welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Connor, you come to the Cleveland Browns, the winningest quarterback in South Carolina history, never lost at home in the SEC. Phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. How has that transition been from being the man there to coming in and working and battling on an NFL team?
You know, that's probably the biggest challenge is going from, you know, pretty much being the guy who's taking all the reps in practice and then, you know, producing the field to coming here and just knowing your role and taking advantage of the limited reps I receive. But it's been a great transition so far. I know the veteran guys like Brian and Tyler have really helped me. So right now it's just about learning the playbook.
Connor, talk about the dynamic in that quarterback room, because you're all learning. You just said it, learning the playbook. That would apply to the veterans as well. This is a new offense pretty much for them too, even if they've got experience. What is it like with all of you in there sharing what you observe and see and maybe extending that to the field as well as far as the discussion and the understanding and the help maybe among yourselves?
Yeah, well, I personally feel like it's a really good room. From the offensive coordinator to the quarterback coach to all four quarterbacks on the team right now. So you're right. Everybody from whether you're in the league for 7 years to rookie year, it's a new offense for us all. And we've really been helping each other in the learning process. And although we're competing, we're bringing out the best in each other, we're also helping each other. So I really feel comfortable with the room we have right now.
And Connor, when you go through this offense, Kyle Shanahan, a lot of movement, a lot of bootlegs, play-action bootlegs, getting on the run, throwing around, things that fit your skill set, I think, very, very well. How comfortable have you felt in this style of an offense?
Well, you know, this is why I felt like I should, I felt comfortable signing with Cleveland. It's because of what he brings to the table and what he did with RG3 at Washington. And his offense fits more of a mobile guy, and that doesn't take anything away from guys that are not mobile because, you know, Brian has come in and he's done a great job, and he's a great leader for this team. And I believe we'll get the job done. But I think, you know, it's really quarterback feeling to mobile quarterbacks.
And it's probably also been a bit of a challenge, too, because you don't have the full complement of receivers out there. I know for you, everybody who's out there is what you're going to work with, but you're looking on the sidelines, and you're certainly aware of a Miles Austin, what he's accomplished in this league. And you're trying to see, okay, what will he be like when he's out there? Nate Burleson finally kind of got in a little bit toward the end,
yeah.
But it just seems like, you know, it's a little bit of a revolving cast out there and some younger guys as well. Give me a sense of what it's been like to throw to those guys.
You know what? It's their opportunity to come in and show the coaches what they have to offer, and I think it's been great for the rookies to come in. It's good for the guys who are trying to showcase themselves. And you know, the veterans, you know, like Miles and Nate, they've been there, done that. They're kind of watching from a coaching perspective, but also getting out there and seeing what they can do. It's been a great OTA and mini camp so far, and I'm looking forward to those guys getting back on the field.
Connor, coming from the SEC, a lot of people call it the best conference, obviously, in college football. You were familiar with Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. How's it been for you two guys, two rookies coming in together, the same class in that quarterback room? Talk a little bit about your relationship with him and how you guys, as rookies, are fitting in with, obviously, a veteran like Brian Hoyer and Tyler Thigpen.
Yeah, me and Johnny have developed a really good relationship. We're pretty much with each other 24/7. We pretty much live at the training facility right now. So, and that's been really good. We've really been helping each other in this learning process with the playbook, and also bringing the best out of each other, whether it be in the weight room, conditioning, or out in the field. So, you know, right now we're trying to, you know, figure out what our role is, and I know Johnny's competing to the best of his ability, and so am I.
And Connor, and we're visiting with Connor Shaw, Browns rookie quarterback, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. Given, too, that in similar ways, you played that college game where it's spread offense, where there's a lot of movement on the part of the quarterback and making plays that way versus maybe the more, for sake of a better term, more structured environment that comes with an NFL scheme and certainly the one you're working on here. How do both of you, because of your somewhat shared experiences as college players, do you talk about that transition from the whole different nomenclature, you know, learning the language of the plays and then how to spit that out in the huddle and how to get everybody kind of rolling on that, and also disciplining yourself to do more things from the pocket than you did as a collegiate quarterback?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest challenge is what you said. There's just so much verbiage in this offense, trying to repeat a play call. And, you know, it's something that me and Johnny are not very familiar with, because we come from, you know, spread systems where you had two or three words, and that would really tell all the rest of the guys what to do. So it's definitely a challenge, but I think we've done a really good job with it so far. And as far as, you know, trying to play from the pocket, I think both of us did a really good job of that. We're just able to extend the plays when we had to.
Connor, I want to talk something a little bit off the field now. I know you are expecting to become a dad. Your little daughter, your unborn daughter, you already says, has more clothes than you do on Twitter. It has it wrapped around your finger. And yes, there is. I can tell you there is nothing like daddy's little girl. But today you are working with some of the youths of the Cleveland area at the youth football camp today at First Energy Stadium. Obviously, getting to interact with the kids has to be a fun kind of side benefit of this
Absolutely.
Job. How was today?
It was awesome. You know, first and foremost, I can't wait to be a dad.
That's the best. Yes.
Being able to marry my high school sweetheart and then being able to share a child is surreal, and I can't wait. And
awesome.
You know, things like we did today to go out there and, you know, support the community and the kids at the football youth camp. I can remember being that age and doing the same thing and looking up to the guys that are in my position now. So it was a wonderful opportunity. We don't get many opportunities to do that. So it was really special for us.
Very cool. Hey, Connor, really happy to have the chance to talk with you, and we certainly look forward to seeing what you guys are all going to be able to do out in the practice field come training camp, which is probably going to be closer than you think. I know you're around for the next couple of weeks with the rookie orientation and all that, but then pretty much you get to chill as much as you can chill as an expectant dad between now and the start of camp.
Yep, I'll head back to Columbia, South Carolina next week, but, you know, there's no such thing as an off season, so I'll be there, you know, in the playbook and still training. So, but yeah, I look forward to coming back to training camp and see what we can do.
And Connor, before we let you go, one thing that I loved about you when I got to watch you in college so much is that you have that kind of intangible, that will to win. You have that, you're a dog out there, and you can will your teams. You did it at times this year, the game against Missouri, one of the great college performances of the season last year. What is something you want the people in the dog pound to know that they're getting in Connor Shaw? Because I think you are very much a special guy in that regard.
Well, first and foremost, you know, I take pride of being the toughest guy on the field. You know, I've played through a lot of injuries, and I'm very passionate for the game. I'll do whatever it takes to win and, you know, try to make the teammates around me better people and better players. So Cleveland should know that they're getting a heck of a competitor and a winner.
I like it, Connor Shaw. Well said. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Good luck to you, and congratulations on your journey to becoming a father.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all having me.
You got it. All right, Connor Shaw. I love that kid.
Oh,
I do. I agree.
He handles himself really well. And you know, you do. Look, what's his story? His story is about overcoming adversity. He just talked about it there.
Yep.
Comes in as an undrafted guy.
Yep.
Got to prove himself. Oh, yeah, on the team that drafted Johnny Manziel. So if you don't think he's loaded up with a lot of motivation and a big, I'm going to say, chip on his shoulder, there's no doubt. He doesn't maybe carry it that way in an angry way, but you know it's burning inside this guy.
This is a guy who never lost a home game in the SEC ever, winning his quarterback in South Carolina history. Very impressive young man, and I think his battle with Tyler Thigpen is going to be one of the fun ones to watch. There are multiple quarterback battles to pay attention to in training camp, folks. Connor Shaw versus Thigpen is certainly going to be an interesting one. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. What'd you think of Connor Shaw? Also, what do you think about Joe Haden? 39th in the NFL's top 100. I think that he was underrated, and so does Vic. We both think top 25. What do you think? 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.